Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cheese and Pickle.
All of television history is contained in the Box of Delights. Hello, I'm Julia Rayside. Each episode, my guest chooses a favourite TV memory to talk about. Joining me today is the actor and writer Yusuf Kerkal. Yusuf, hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the Box of Delights.
Thank you.
Very formal, suddenly. Tell me, what have you brought to talk about today?
I have brought the wall scene from a little show called Home.
A
little show called Home that I happen to be in.
It is the brilliant Home by Rufus Jones on Channel 4 and Series 2. Well, as you're listening, it's probably happening now. It's going to be on all four, I think, the day after release, isn't it?
Correct, so yeah.
You'll be able to see the whole thing.
See the whole thing.
And I recommend it highly. And it's only half an hour long. And it is the nicest show on television.
Yeah.
But not just nice, because it's written by Rufus Jones, who clearly has depths and hidden nasty depths sometimes. Yeah. But he writes beautifully.
And season two pulls and tugs at all the characters.
Oh,
yeah,
does it?
Yeah. Everybody's not as nice.
Oh, really? Yeah. Don't tell me Sammy's not nice. Does he secretly turn out to be a murderer or an arms dealer?
No,
or does he
stamp
on rabbits or something?
Nothing that tame.
No.
I think, you'd have to, I mean, Rufus is probably the one to ask about why, but you'll see he's put the pressure on Sammy is greater, and therefore Sammy's reaction to things is less measured because there's more pressure on him now than there was in season one.
Of course, right, because his family's in Germany and he's stuck in limbo. London.
And the longer you're in limbo, the more your identity starts to crack. And the more your identity starts to crack, the more you're reactive. And you're reactive in a way that's not necessarily measured.
Yeah. So Sammy, your character, is basically, he's stowed away in the boot of a car in Calais.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Syrian refugee and he sneaks into the UK in the boot of this car, and then this family sort of adopt him.
Yes.
After some ructions and some wrangles, and Rufus Jones's character, Peter, doesn't really want you around, but he's slowly becoming accustomed to Sammy. So we join the family in season two, but let's go back to season one, because you've chosen a moment from the first episode.
Yes, I've chosen a moment where Sammy's character sits on a wall outside and has an evening chat with Katie, played by the incredible Rebecca Staton.
I have a bit of a crush on her.
I'm not surprised.
Just want her to be my best friend.
Yeah.
She's
awesome. Same.
Beautiful day.
It's turning a bit chilly.
It's just chilly enough, Katie. I love it.
How do you know my name?
In the car. You were talking, I was listening.
Of course.
Puberty, very difficult time for everyone.
Your English is very good, you know.
I teach it in Damascus.
Oh, right, you're from Syria?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a teacher too. State school, down the road.
State school?
High school.
Ah, me too. They are this tall. And they are very naughty. So naughty. But this year they are all playing truant.
Little fuckers. Oh, sorry, I see what you mean now.
It's fine.
The reason I picked this moment is because this is the memory section of your podcast.
Nice.
The memory I have of doing that the first time with Rebecca was when we shot the 10-minute pilot or the 15-minute pilot.
Which I saw.
Yeah.
And everyone was knocking on Rufus's door going, dude, that was amazing.
Exactly.
Are you doing more?
Because
it was
more?
Just
exactly,
so good.
Exactly, yeah. That's Jim Field Smith wrote that little pilot.
Yes,
and then
brilliant
director. David Sant, of course, took over the main series.
Yeah.
And that first war moment is the first time I really got to sit and chat with Rebecca. And if anybody listening who knows Rebecca will know exactly what I'm talking about, but if you don't, she has a way of making you feel like a million bucks.
Yes.
She didn't just make you feel like you can do anything.
Yeah.
And she was so, you know, because it was my, I'd come from playing third terrorist from the left for so long.
And the RSC, love. And don't RSC. Talk yourself
yes.
down.
Even at the RSC,
he's
darling.
Very posh, you know.
Well, yes, of course, yes. My terrorists that talk like that.
Do your own accent on TV very much, do you?
No, I don't. I'm cutting my showreel together, and then my friend Charlie, who's cutting it, was going, yeah, we need to find something where you're actually speaking English, because people are going to think you can't speak English. It was a real problem after a while.
Genuinely.
And the RSC was one of the first real companies to give me to just make me play Lords.
Yeah, exactly. Because there aren't many people from, well, we also have half Moroccan and
half Moroccan, half English.
Yeah.
But
That's incredible.
Yeah, but so having done all that, and then but on film and television, I was usually some immigrant or some terrorist or something like
Brilliant.
That. Yeah. So this time I'm sitting there, and it's a part that's relatively big. There's no show yet, but Rebecca just took the time to constantly throw all this positive stuff my way and tell me how I was doing something great, and adjust things to be like, you know, I'd ask a question, she'd be like, yeah, it's because you're doing this, and I, in my experience, you should probably do that.
She wasn't patronizing you. She was just gently saying,
not at all,
hey,
no.
Try this,
we were talking, I remember vividly, because I've carried it ever since. It's been one of those acting lesson tics, is we talked about the emotion, how much emotion should Sammy show in this moment. Like, does he break down? Is he holding back tears and all that stuff?
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, but it's what it is sometimes that's literally too much. You think it's subtle, but it's not. That actually the lines themselves and the situation can create that sadness.
Yeah.
And you can just sit in that quietly. And
God, it must be quite hard to do. I'm not doing enough.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 of course. I mean, you know, with experience, when you have that feeling, you're probably okay. If you're like, oh, I did hardly anything.
Yeah.
But in this moment, it's like, how do I pitch this part? How do I pitch this moment?
I've always wanted to ask actors, do you just like do it in the mirror? When you're not sure about how you want a line to come across, do you just stare at yourself in a mirror and try and...
Yes, if ever that happens, you do absolutely anything. You videotape yourself. You do anything to look at it objectively. But you see that a lot in movies and on TV, people practicing lines in the mirror until they get it right. But actually, I think in my experience...
Go with your gut, man.
You just say it on the day and then you see if it's landing.
Yeah.
Because what you're looking for is an internal connection to what you're saying. So if it feels... connected, then you know you're in the right way.
Yep.
If it feels fantastic, then it's probably shit.
You're probably
doing too much. And then if you don't feel anything at all and you're okay with that, then you're probably not doing enough. You know, it's one of those weird things. But knowing how to lob the lines out and what sort of track to send your trolley down is the key question.
Yeah.
And like having somebody with experience say, listen, trust that it's happening because we're in this moment. And also, and she's just brilliant in the scene, brilliant actress.
She is. If anyone still doesn't know who we're talking about, she was the mum in Raised by Wolves, the super cool, like Della, Clint Eastwood in kind of like a blonde wig. She was so cool. Yeah.
Della, I think that was her name.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She was very,
just
very
this
good.
Kind of Wolverhampton dude.
Yeah, just real
amazing.
Real badass. and just brought so much to home as well.
Yeah.
So, it taught me so much about, even just as a woman, how to, the things she has to think about on screen, you know. And I remember very early on she said, I need to not hold a plate in my hand ever in the kitchen.
Brilliant.
When we're in the kitchen, I mustn't be holding cutlery, silverware, plates, cups, you know. I'll hold an iPad.
Right.
I'll hold a mobile phone. I'll hold a book, but not all that stuff. And she was constantly
amazing
seeing it from that side. And I was like, yeah, this is the, I really, really, really want to learn all this stuff.
Also,
I really, really want to be your friend.
Oh, she's so awesome.
Yeah.
So what happened on that wall and in that scene? Part of the story was that?
In that wall, Sammy, he's in England.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally just the beginning of the first app. He's made it and he's here. And it struck me that when you're trying to sneak into a country, and this is before he's been made legal, this is before anything.
Exactly, yeah.
You're trying to get into a country, and it can take you years.
Yeah.
And finally, you happen to be on the right truck or the right car, the right whatever, and you're there.
Mm-hmm.
Then what? What happens on your first moments out of that boot? Because I've jumped out of the boot of the car, said bye-bye, and I've walked off. I just haven't walked very far. I've walked two paces and then sat on a wall.
Because you're like, I haven't thought this far ahead.
I haven't thought this far ahead.
Where do I go?
I'm here. What do I do? And Sammy is just literally, he can't do anything but sit. He's got nowhere to go. He's trying to get back to his, to get word to his wife and child. He has no money on his phone, no battery or anything. And then Katie comes out and sits down next to the one, just starts talking to him. And what she's there to do is help.
Listen, Sammy. I want to help you. Let me give you some money.
No.
Yes, look, take, I haven't got any cash on me.
Oh, Katie, please, really, it's fine.
No, I'm helping you. That is it. I'm helping you. Here.
What is this?
It's a Cafe Nero loyalty card.
Okay.
You get a stamp for every coffee you buy, and every 9 stamps you get a free one.
I have 2 stamps.
Yes.
I need 7 more stamps.
Yes, you do.
I'm afraid I'm in no position to speculate on the coffee market like this.
I know. It's shit.
She just sees him sitting on the wall, and she knows she has to go out and sit next to him. And she does, and she just says, you know, it's a bit chilly. You know, and he's just chilly enough. And then they have a nice little chat. And she agrees to help and pulls out fiddles in her wallet. And Sammy goes, no, please, please. He goes, no, I want to help you. And she pulls out a Cafe Nero loyalty card.
Oh, it's her loyalty card. I'd forgotten.
You know, what is this? Yeah, it's a very, very funny, touching moment.
It is really touching. And that's the writing is so, the word I can only ever come back to is humanity, because Rufus's writing is always trying to show you the person, not the situation, not the, when Sammy talks about being a refugee and it being, it's only the middle class people who get this far. Like, we're the ones, we've got money, we've got the ability to try and pay someone to help us get here, and you'll never meet the ones who you think we are. It's such a different and honest way of viewing this situation and the actual human people who are trying to do it.
Yeah.
And I just think it really made me think in a way that nothing else about this subject has. Because it's gently sort of tickling you while it's telling
you, don't
close your heart to these people. This is important.
Exactly. And it's the for a lot of these shows that are out, that are coming out now, certainly a lot of the ones I've done, there is a real world counterpart that is not as lighthearted and fun and warm as what's on television. And so how do you represent those people on screen while respecting who they are?
Yeah.
And so a show that has a lot of heart and humanity to it, as you say, as you put it, I think humanity is the right word.
Yeah, it is.
And that just tries to say, we're having fun with this story and we're having fun with these characters.
Yeah.
But we're rooting it in the seriousness of what they're doing. I mean, that was my only pivot point when playing Sammy. It's it's a fun, lighthearted guy who under the surface is screaming in terror and fear and desperation. And every single moment, everything you see is him trying to stop that from coming out.
Yeah.
And that's all.
Yeah.
And that's very easy to play, you know, because it's...
Well, you say that, but you do it brilliantly. It's just, there's always something going on in every scene where you don't have to speak, you don't have to say anything. It's like there's a storm in there the whole time. It's really amazing. It is incredible.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So series 2, you finished making it. It's about to come out. Do we know anything about series 3 yet? Or is that not, as Rufus like, no?
I mean, everybody always says things like, I must start thinking about series 3.
Yeah.
You know.
Just in case.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt.
I've been, every single show I've done ever, there's always talk of what we're going to do for the next series.
Of course. I suppose it's only natural.
And it rarely happens.
Yeah. But it's the nicest set I've ever been on.
Yeah.
I was looking for the cracks. Like, because it's a small, I mean, on screen, it's a small gang.
Yeah, small gang.
And obviously then there's lots of crew and stuff, but it's quite a sort of a tight little team. And you all just really clearly love each other.
Yeah.
And there's Oakley Pendergast,
best actor in Britain at the moment.
Yeah, plays. The he's not a little boy now, he's basically a teenager.
He's young, but he's John.
So he's the kid of the family. Just you all seem to just treat each other with a lot of respect. You really like each other.
Yeah, good.
You hang out together at lunch. It's just really nice.
Good people engender that kind of respect.
Yeah.
And that kind of trust and faith.
Yeah. It shows on screen. It really does.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'm glad. And season 2, we'll see. Season 2 is very much the story widens.
Yeah.
It widens away from Sammy's story. It goes a bit more towards John and Katie. And
so I know, I think it's been in the trailer that Katie's, the father of John, Katie's ex-husband.
John's biological father comes back. Played by Doogie Henshall.
Amazing.
And he's incredible in it. And, you know, that's the other hallmark of a fantastic company is that they've managed to just find the best people to come in and play the parts. You know, people come in for a day or 2 days
Absolutely.
To play. Everyone is spot on. And it's really, really beautiful. But that's what's happening. It's John's biological father,
yes.
Katie's ex,
yep.
You know, violent ex.
It's fair to say he's a bit of a douchebag.
Yep. Yeah. And he's back in the picture, which is pulling and tugging on Rufus Jones's character's sense of fatherhood.
And he's also brilliant under pressure as well. In fact, he's not good under pressure, which
not
is why he's
so pressure.
Brilliant
exactly,
to watch. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, you know, there's a lot of the comedy rests in those moments.
Yeah.
Rufus is very capable of doing.
Well, he is. And he jokes, but he always writes himself in a naked scene. Because
yeah.
I was writing in a cafe near my house, somewhere nowhere near where Rufus lives, but it must have been round the corner from where you were filming that
yeah.
day. And so he was just randomly there. And I said, oh my God, hello. And we sat down and chatted. And he said, I've done it again. I was like, what? He said, I've got to go and do another knackers out. I was like, you're yeah. joking.
And if I may say, it is an extremely funny
knackers. I mean, it always
scene.
Is, because he knows how to play
yeah.
that for laughs. But my goodness.
Hilarious.
I don't think there's ever a time when I haven't seen Rufus's parts. Even in the theatre once, he's very good.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Very good. Very brave. Very good and very brave.
So brave. Is Sammy your favourite character you've ever played? Just say yes.
100%.
Yes!
Absolutely.
I knew it.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you for bringing
no doubt
your
about
own
it.
Show.
No
I love
it.
I love it so much, genuinely. I have
always be marketing.
No, no, of course. But I honestly have grabbed people's collars and told them to watch your show because it is one of the best things
wonderful.
On TV. Please, before you go, take a question from the Box of Delights.
Oh, yeah. Favourite Big Brother contestant?
Oh, so, no, don't answer that one because you don't even like Big Brother. Leave that on the table. You can have another one. Have you got one?
Did I have one? I can't remember.
But you don't watch Big Brother.
There was one where a guy had Tourette's. Was his name Pete?
Oh, yeah. Pete from Brighton.
Pete
yeah,
from
yeah,
Brighton.
Yeah. He's like in bands and
yeah.
stuff.
That
yeah, yeah.
season, there was a young lady who
Nikki.
Had a boy. Nikki, who had a boy. She was dating somebody within the house.
Yeah, I think she dated Pete, actually.
Pete.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
They did date for a while.
For a while.
Yeah.
And she played the bit ditzy kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was another lady in that house that season.
Wow.
Who, maybe from Liverpool. She was from Liverpool, maybe.
Oh, God.
Who
should know this.
Who this girl thought was having a thing with Pete.
Pete. Oh, so there was like a love triangle.
There was like a thing going, "Were you flirting with my husband?" She went, "No, babes, no, I wasn't."
Oh.
Anyway, this other woman.
This is the show you didn't watch,
this
by
the show
way.
I didn't watch. I happened to have watched this episode.
Okay.
Where she, is it Nikki? Is that her name?
Yeah, Nikki. Is there, who is she?
Yeah,
who is she,
exactly,
that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So this other girl.
Yeah.
Who is my answer to this question.
Okay.
Was cracking eggs into a pot. Or into a bowl.
Yeah.
And a bit of eggshell fell in. And she said, oh, yeah, you've got to use the other, you've got to use the main eggshell to scoop it out. And Nikki went, why is that? And she went, I don't know, but it just sticks together. And from that day onwards, I have always scooped out my little bits of eggshell with the egg. Because science,
it
man.
It works.
Science, man. It blow, mind equals blown.
Oh, my God.
Eggshell picks up the eggshell. Your
How
finger,
have I not
finger
known?
Doesn't do that. Finger, it's all like the force pushes
Amazing.
It away.
Amazing.
The eggshell just scoops up, it picks it up.
You're listening to The Kitchen Cabinet with
exactly.
Yusuf Kerkor.
Big Brother Inspirations, brought to you by Yusuf Kerkor.
This is incredible. Thank you for teaching us. Goodbye. Thanks for listening. You can find links to the YouTube clips from today's episode on our Twitter feed at Box Delights Pod. Come and say hello. Bye. Thank you.